Well, it's so good to be celebrating here together again this year. I know for many of us, last Christmas was a tough season. We didn't have church services in person. Social gatherings were restricted. So I'm just really thankful that we get to be here together again this time of year, singing Advent songs, singing Christmas songs, celebrating together. And thankful also that we can include people watching online still, both near and far. As we touched on in our lighting of the Advent candle, Advent is the season of waiting, of preparation. And that name Advent just comes from the Latin Adventus, which means coming. In Advent, we wait. We prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus. And we look forward to the coming of Jesus as a baby that first Christmas. And so, of course, in Advent, we're often busy, right, with preparation. We're baking treats, we're decorating the tree, we're putting up lights. In our home, Advent means baking traditional German Christmas cookies, like Schokoladensterne and Buttergebäck. You want to try saying those out loud real quick? Schokoladensterne. Yeah. Our daughter Winter there is old enough now. She wants to help with making the cookies, which, of course, is a lot of fun. During Advent, we're counting down the days to Christmas, to Jesus' first coming, when God came near to us in the incarnation, becoming a flesh and blood human being like one of us. But Advent also reminds us that Jesus is coming again one day in glory. And we wait eagerly in anticipation for that future day. So Advent is this time in between the time Jesus coming once in the flesh as a baby and coming again in brilliant glory for all the world to see. Listen to how German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer puts it. The Advent season is a season of waiting, but our whole life is an Advent season. That is a season of waiting for the last Advent, for the time when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. At Christmas, as we celebrate Emmanuel, that song that we just sang, we sing God with us. We remember how Jesus came near to us in his Son, and we long again for his coming in glory. But now that Jesus has ascended back to the Father, how is God with us today in this in-between time of waiting? Well, if you've been with us in these last 2 months of this series, we're in a series titled The Gift of the Spirit. We've been talking about who the Holy Spirit is, the different kinds of gifts that he gives to his church. And of course, the Spirit is God's presence with us today. Over the next 4 weeks of Advent, we're going to continue to look at who the Spirit is and what he wants to do in our lives. We're going to look at more of the gifts that the Spirit gives to equip, to build up the church. And over these 4 weeks, we're going to look at four different aspects, if you will, of this one gift of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit who comforts. He's the Spirit who heals. He's the Spirit who gives. And he's the Spirit who loves. In this Advent season, as we wait, as we prepare for the coming of Jesus into the world, would we also prepare room in our hearts for the Spirit to do his work, to do what the Spirit longs to do in us? Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus into the world to show your great love. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to us today to point us to Jesus, to fill us with your living presence. This morning, we ask that you would again pour out more of yourself, more of your Spirit. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, into our hearts today. Amen. Well, our topic today is the Spirit as the Comforter. I wonder, what do you think of when you hear that word comfort? Maybe your mind immediately goes, you know, it's close to Christmas season, so you're picturing yourself sitting in a comfy chair right by a fireplace. You've got your comfy flannel pajamas on. You're sipping your hot chocolate or your tea. Or maybe because it's Christmas, you're thinking the Charlie Brown special, right? You've got Linus with his little comfort blanket that he can just never let go. Or also Christmas theme, but a very different style, let's say. Maybe you think of that wonderful opening line from Handel's Messiah, "Comfort ye, my people." I love that part. Well, today we're looking at the gift of the Spirit of comfort, not in the sense of that, like, comfortable or cozy, but as the one who comforts us in grief, who relieves our anxieties, and who strengthens us in our weakness. And we're also going to look at how the Spirit gives gifts of mercy, of encouragement, so that we too can comfort others in need by that same Spirit. We're going to look at a few passages from the Bible today, but I want to start with some verses from John chapter 14. John 14 to 17 are all one long speech by Jesus to his disciples on the night before he was betrayed. It's known as the Upper Room Discourse because it takes place in an upper room. And it's Jesus' farewell speech to his disciples. Jesus, he's just pouring out his heart with everything that he wants his disciples to know before he leaves them. Just picture yourself with the disciples there that night of the Passover meal, that they're sad, they're frightened by the thought of Jesus leaving them. How can they keep going without Jesus with them, without his physical presence there to comfort them, strengthen them? And so because he knows their fear, their sadness, Jesus comforts his disciples with the promise of an advocate, someone to help them when he leaves. I'm going to read from John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18 here. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And again, lower down in verse 25 to 27, I'll read those as well. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Did you catch that word advocate in verse 16 and again in 26? John is actually the only New Testament writer who uses this specific term for the Holy Spirit four times in these three chapters. In Greek, it's the word parakletos, and translators aren't sure really how to best translate it because it can carry so many different nuances. Depending on what version of the Bible you're reading, you will find advocate in the NIV, comforter in the King James Version, counselor in the RSV, and helper in the ESV. So that word paraclete, it's derived from the Greek words called alongside, parakaleo. So the paraclete, he is one who is called alongside to stand by you. And the Latin equivalent, advocate, is also derived from called to. So you can think of the paraclete, this comforter, as one who is called alongside, called to help those who are in trouble or in need, to comfort them, to strengthen them, to plead for them. All of those different English translations of paraclete, they're trying to capture different nuances of meaning. But not one of them is exactly perfect, I think. I actually like the way Pastor Tim Keller puts it. He says, "The Holy Spirit is the ultimate friend." The ultimate friend, right? The ultimate friend, he's your advocate. He's your comforter, your counselor, your helper. He's all these things. Think of the best friend that you've ever had. What is he or she like? What makes them such a good friend? I've been blessed with several good friends in my life, but I want to share with you about one of them today, my friend, Don Lewis. Don was my professor when I studied at Regent College in Vancouver, but he also became a mentor, a spiritual advisor, and a friend to me. It may seem odd to think of a professor as a friend, but that truly is who Don was for me. We would go out for sushi together. He had me over to his home for dinner. When I needed a job after graduation, he was my advocate. He set me up with some odd jobs so I could make ends meet, and I used him as a reference on my applications. Don was for me. When I moved out to Langley, he came here to visit, to encourage me. And when Lillian and I had our first child, Winter, he brought over sushi dinner for us. Don knew all my secrets. He knew all the stuff in my heart that I would rather keep hidden. But still, every time we talked, he would say, "Ben, you are such an awesome guy." And he meant it. He affirmed who I was and how he saw God working in my life. The image of Don that for me epitomizes his friendship is when we would pray together. We would sit next to each other on this dingy old couch in his office, and he would just put his arm around me like this in a fatherly hug and just hold me and pray for me. I can't tell you how much that affirmation meant to me. A physical hug, prayer, time spent together. My friend Don died suddenly of a heart attack just over a month ago. And I ache because I miss him today. I miss his friendship. I miss his presence. I share with you about my friend Don just to give you a little picture of how the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is that ultimate friend that we all long for and need. The Spirit is for you. You can trust him. He knows everything about you, but he still loves you. He builds you up. He encourages you. He comes alongside you when you need comforting. The Spirit convicts you of sin in your life, but he also reminds you of the truth of Jesus, the truth of the gospel, and of what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross for you. And of course, the Spirit does all of this perfectly, better than any human friend ever could, because he is God. When the disciples in that upper room are grieving as Jesus talked about leaving them, he promises them another advocate, another ultimate friend, to be with them forever. Now, there are actually two Greek words that can mean another. The first is heteros, which means another of a different kind. It's where we get words like heterogeneous or heterosexual. The second word is allos, which means another but of the same kind. And this is actually the word that Jesus uses of the Spirit here. The Spirit is another but of the same kind. Another comforter like Jesus himself. And by saying another, Jesus indicates that the Spirit would actually continue Jesus' own encouraging, comforting presence here on earth after he left them. John 14, verse 18, Jesus promises, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And later that evening, he says to them again, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." You see, sometimes we think like the disciples, if only we had Jesus physically with us still, wouldn't that be better, right? To have him, to see him, to hold him. But Jesus says it's actually better for us that he goes to the Father so that he can send the Holy Spirit. How can this be for our good? Well, when Jesus lived on earth, of course, he could only be in one place at a time. His presence was limited and local. But now in the Spirit, his presence can be everywhere, anywhere where he is, where we are. And then in this in-between time, waiting for Jesus to return, the Comforter is that presence of God with us, sent by the Father and the Son. Okay, we're going to unpack just a couple of different ways in which the Comforter comes alongside us today. Just three here. The Comforter comforts us in grief and sadness. He gives us peace to calm our anxiety and fear. And he strengthens us when we're weak. First, the Comforter comforts us in grief and sadness. One of the primary meanings of comfort, of course, is to console someone who is sad. Think about that, you know, with parents, with their children, consoling them. This is exactly what the Spirit does. When we're grieving the loss of a loved one, or when we're just filled with sadness at the brokenness in our hearts or in our lives, broken relationships, the Comforter, he longs to come alongside us, to console us with his healing presence. In the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is describing the kind of people who are part of the kingdom of heaven, and he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Really? Blessed are those who mourn? Shouldn't it be blessed are those who are happy? It seems so counterintuitive, right? But as I learned from Pastor Daryl Johnson, those who mourn are blessed because they show that they are close to the heart of God. They're in tune with the heart of God for the brokenness of the world. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit." When we mourn, we recognize, we see the brokenness of the world and our own lives. We see that things are not the way they're supposed to be. And God comes close to us in his Comforter to console us in our grief. I believe God does this directly through the Spirit, ministering to our hearts, pointing us to Jesus and the hope we have in him, reminding us of the gospel. But he also comforts us through the people he brings alongside us. After my own dad died 2 years ago, I went over to my friend Alan's house the next evening. We talked about my dad, how I was feeling. But the most meaningful thing for me in that evening was when Alan just simply wrapped his arms around me as I cried. He didn't have to say anything. A hug, space to weep, was what I needed most. That's what comforted me. If I can just give you a word of advice to you, if you're in a situation where you're comforting someone who's grieving, better to err on the side of a few words, rather than just trying to make sense of their grief with platitudes like, "Oh, they're in a better place." Too often, we want to make the person feel better in their grief, or actually, sometimes it's about making us feel better. But it's actually okay to simply say, "I don't have the words to say, but I'm hurting with you. I care, and I love you." And your presence, your hug, if that's appropriate, and your listening, they're probably the best comfort you can offer in that moment. So the Spirit comforts us in our grief, and he equips others to comfort us as well. Listen to Paul in the second letter to the Corinthians. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." You see, because we ourselves have received that comfort, we're able to extend it to others walking through hard times and grief. I think this is something we should certainly all do as Christians, something we all can do. But I think some people are maybe especially gifted in this way. I think of my friends Uli and Tanya La Rosa. They lead our bereavement journey course here at NLCC. They both have just such a gentle presence. And through sharing their stories, facilitating the course, they comfort others who are grieving. There are others in our church, some of whom I know, and some are just doing this on their own here, but they're quietly using the spiritual gifts of mercy and encouragement as they visit people in care homes or in the hospital. Through their presence, their listening, their prayers, their encouraging words, they bring the presence of the Comforter into those rooms where he is needed most. During the pandemic, we had a team of volunteers calling people in the church who might have been lonely, just to provide encouragement to them over the phone, letting them know they're not alone, praying with them. I think of our prayer team here with that gift of just listening, receiving your words as you come up front here or in the prayer room at the back, and praying that comfort over people. All of these people, right, in different ways, are using a Spirit-given, gracious gift of mercy and encouragement to comfort, to build up the body of Christ. These gifts may not be flashy, but they're no less valuable or spiritual. Pastor Leslie Newbegin, missionary, reminds us that the Comforter himself is the source of all of this calling and comforting and encouraging, a gift from the Father made possible by the intercession of Jesus. You see, friends, we don't do this in our own strength, but in the power of the Spirit, whom the Father has already sent, another advocate. Okay, a second way in which the Comforter works is to give us peace, to calm our anxiety and fear. I love how Joy and Randy shared about that in their testimony. When Jesus promises the gift of the Spirit in John 14 to his disciples, he knew they were afraid and confused. He knew the kind of persecution they would be facing after he left. And so as he promises the advocate who will be with them, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." And later that evening, Jesus says again to his disciples, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Jesus knows the trouble we experience in this world, the anxiety, the fear that we often feel. And so he sends his helper, his comforter, to give us peace, to remind us that he has already overcome the world. I wonder for you, where does that fear, that anxiety come from? Maybe it's the fear that many of us are dealing with in this ongoing pandemic, anxiety about ourselves or loved ones getting sick. Maybe it's worrying about your children and what the future will hold for them. Maybe it's worrying about an adult son or daughter who has walked away from faith in Jesus. Maybe it's job or money related, worrying about paying bills. And for many of you teens and young adults, I know that anxiety is just so pervasive in our culture today. It can feel so debilitating. Jesus gives us the Spirit of comfort to relieve us of our worries. He speaks into our hearts to remind us that God is ultimately in control, and he invites us just to relinquish our fears to him. The Comforter reminds us of our identity in Jesus. He reminds us that we are loved as children of God. And the peace that Jesus gives us through the Spirit is not as the world gives. It's not dependent on external circumstances, on everything being fine. Rather, it's the peace of his presence, of himself. I want to tell you just a quick story to illustrate this. About a year ago, our daughter Winter, she was 20 months old then, went through what I think people call a sleep regression. She would get really worked up and afraid and not want to fall asleep in her room. Any parents of young children out there? Yeah, you're nodding, you can sympathize with this. It's really tough, right? Well, the solution in our home that brought her peace was me actually laying on the floor next to her. I would just lay on the carpet, and because it often took her quite a while, I would actually make a little bed there on the floor. I'd lay out a blanket and a pillow for myself, and then often I would fall asleep, take a little nap for an hour, until she fell asleep. Well, for our daughter Winter, right, the room itself hadn't changed. What was different was my presence next to her, alongside her there. I think God's peace works a little bit like this. He doesn't necessarily change our circumstances, though he certainly can, and sometimes he does. But he's present with us, and that makes all the difference. I want to be careful to add also that I'm not saying that simply praying will always make anxiety or fear go away. Anxiety is complex, and it may require professional counseling, medication, and I fully support those things where they're needed and appropriate. But I do believe that when we invite the Spirit of peace into our hearts, he is at work. He's calming fears. He's speaking peace. And I also believe that the Spirit delights, again, to use himself to empower others with that gift through healthy community, through caring friends, through a life group, through prayer partners and warriors, just to help ease that fear and that loneliness that so many of us struggle with. When I think about how the Spirit equips people with this gift of encouragement in the church, I think of our Living Well ministry. Through Cal and Susie Warnicke and other amazing facilitators, Living Well, it provides a space for those who are dealing with mental health struggles and for their family members as well who are supporting them. Through education and peer support, Living Well is absolutely a part of how the Spirit is bringing peace into anxious and troubled hearts in our church and our community. If that's something that you would benefit from, I just encourage you to check them out on the second or fourth Tuesday of each month. Finally, I want to share with you about a third way in which the Comforter comes alongside us. Remember that picture? The Comforter, he's coming right alongside us to strengthen us, to help us in our weakness. Listen to Paul writing about the ministry of the Spirit in Romans 8, 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, Pastor Matthew referenced this passage a few weeks ago in connection to the spiritual gift of tongues. You know, sometimes when we simply don't know what to say, what to pray for, the Spirit actually speaks for us in a language that sometimes we don't even understand ourselves. And the Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. God is searching our hearts. He knows what we need. And God prays for us by his own Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Paul is writing here in Romans 8 to address more broadly that tension that we live in as Christians, this already but not yet time of our present weakness and future redemption. We have this amazing promise of being resurrected with Christ in the new creation. But right now, our bodies are still weak. We suffer with the rest of the groaning creation. And whether it's physically or emotionally, we get weak. We get weary. So in this in-between time, this waiting for the new creation, we're called to live a life of patient endurance and hope. And in that waiting, the Spirit comes alongside us in our weakness, our frailty, when we're not sure how to keep going. To comfort in the New Testament can also mean to encourage or to exhort. And so the Comforter, he comes alongside us to encourage us, to help us to keep going, to keep living a life of patient, hopeful endurance, a life of joyful service to others, of obedience to Jesus. The Comforter, he strengthens us to live that long obedience in the same direction, to borrow Eugene Peterson's phrase. I picture the Spirit coming alongside us like a coach, encouraging his team in the final timeout at the end of a tough game. And he's telling us, you got this. You can do it. Keep going. Or, to use the sports analogy that the book of Hebrews actually uses, let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You see, as we run the race, the Spirit, the Comforter and the great encourager, he's the one who keeps our eyes fixed on Jesus. He's running right alongside us. He's living in us. He's the very presence of God with us. Remember Dietrich Bonhoeffer's quote about Advent? Advent season is a season of waiting. But our whole life is an Advent season. That is a season of waiting for the last Advent, for the time when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. In this season of waiting, North Langley, be encouraged. Be comforted, because the Comforter, the Holy Spirit himself, is with us. I'd love to invite the worship team to come up here and our prayer team as well in just a moment. We're going to transition into a time of prayer, and I invite you to ask the Comforter to meet you where you need him. Perhaps this Christmas you're grieving the loss of a loved one or remembering the loss of a loved one? Are you burdened with anxiety, with fear and worry? Are you feeling weak, discouraged? You don't know how to keep going? Perhaps you're feeling weary because you've been so busy caring for others, comforting them, and you just need to be filled up again by that source of all comfort, the Spirit himself. Maybe you're doing fine, but maybe there's someone that you know in your life that you can be praying for, that you can extend that gift of comfort to. Whatever your situation is, I just encourage you just to take a few moments to pray while the band starts to play quietly. And I invite you to open your hands as a gesture of receiving the Spirit. Whatever your situation, pray that God would give you the gift of his Spirit, the Comforter. You can pray on your own, but if you've come with someone, perhaps ask them to pray with you. If you'd like to receive prayer, again, our prayer team would love to pray with you, either here at the front or at the prayer room in the back. So would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have sent your Spirit to be our comforter, our helper in this time. We ask that you would give us more of your Spirit. Fill us with more of yourself. And Spirit of comfort, I pray that you would strengthen those today who are weak. Comfort those who are grieving today, I ask. Encourage those who need your encouragement.